your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Solem.
All right, welcome to Tuesday, Lacrosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk-in text line. If you want to get in here, now's the time to do it. What do you got? Mask mandate? Evers extended it today. Halloween canceled. Health officials in Wisconsin are talking about that, kind of. Seems very ironic to me. Dr. Aaron Engel, the La Crosse School Superintendent, is going to be joining us at about 5:15, depending on how much time Brad needs to do the news. We'll tell him to shore it up a little bit. La Crosse County COVID-19 cases today, 79. So at least we're under 100, at least. Something going down tonight at 7 p.m. right here on Wisdom. And if you go to wisdomnews.com, look for a big vote logo. And I wonder if it's going to live on the homepage somewhere. But it's called the Vote Safe Project. Talked about it yesterday with Lee Roche, the executive director of Leader Ethics Wisconsin. And I think it's going to be pretty interesting. And you guys are going to be able to participate. Same text line, 608-785-7914. If you have questions, if you text them now, I'll probably answer the questions and you won't get any good information about voting in the November election. So you maybe want to wait until after 6 p.m. and then text your questions that you might have heading into the November elections, whether it be voter fraud or absentee ballots or what you need to do to get an absentee ballot, the requirements for it. Wisconsin elections. I don't know if you throw them a Minnesota question, Iowa question. We'll see. Maybe they'd be able to answer it. Democratic Attorney General Josh Call, former Attorney General Republican J.B. Van Hollen. That's going to be one segment. Another segment with Reed Magny from the Wisconsin Election Commission, along with La Crosse County La Crosse County Clerk Jenny Dankmeyer. We had Jenny on a couple of weeks ago. Man, was it more than a couple of weeks ago? I guess maybe. And we kind of had some fun with her, just throwing every question that you could possibly think of at her with voter fraud and from everything from, you know, people going mailbox to mailbox, grabbing mail-in ballots or absentee ballots and filling them out for your neighbors. To the always the conspiracy theory that, you know, Trump's on the verge of winning and then they find a trunk full of Joe Biden votes somewhere. Because, of course, it would only be Joe Biden votes that you would find a trunk full of. That was one of the questions that we threw at Jenny Dankmeyer. And, it's never a trunk full of Trump votes when these questions are asked. It's always Joe Biden. So funny. But yeah, it's going to be pretty fun four segments, and it's kicked off at 7 p.m. right here on Wisdom. You can watch it. You can listen to it. It's going to be one of these virtual things again. And, if you have the Wisdom app, you already have the link. So, and it's another easy way to listen or watch. Just go wherever you get your apps. The Play Store, Google Play Store, or what? I forgot what Apple's is. iTunes? Is it still called iTunes? Is that where you get apps too? But yeah, go grab the Wisdom app and you can listen to all our stuff right there. You hit play and boom, it's on. It's pretty easy. 608-785-7914. Okay, so I did real quick the mask mandate's one thing, but the idea that Wisconsin health officials are recommending against usual trick-or-treating, usual being the key word there, right? This is a real short story on wisdomnews.com, but I think it is kind of interesting, you know, like the one holiday that we should be able to have. Well, I guess other holidays are more family-orientated anyway, unless you want to count the whole, like, going to church on some of those holidays, whatever. Who does that? Easter? Christmas? But yeah, the one holiday where we are, you know, kind of almost required to wear a mask. Nope, that's not good enough for trick-or-treating. Number three is calling in. Number three, go ahead, you're on.
How's it going, guy?
It's all right. How are you?
Well, I'm real good, but I'm sure getting sick and tired of hearing about the Supreme Court.
I didn't even mention it.
Virus.
I didn't even. Oh, I mentioned the virus. Oh, voting and the virus. Yeah. What else? That's what we're going to talk about with the La Crosse school superintendent today a little bit.
To be honest with you, Rick, the last two nights I listened to your show, I fell asleep.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, it's 5 o'clock. That's a good nap time.
Well, I just woke up for one. Why don't you just play it about 10:30 when I really want to go to bed?
Well, you can. You can get on your computer and listen to it at 10:30 on the podcast. That's what you can do.
I never thought of that. You know, you're smarter than the average bear.
You can't interact with the show, though, obviously. You call in at that time. I'm not going to answer. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll try. I'll have my wife set that up for 10:30.
Hey, I know what day you'll want to listen to. Is Friday. I'm having Rob on. Rob Abraham, La Crosse Assistant Police Chief.
He's my buddy. That'll be an interesting show.
Oh, and all I'm going to talk to him about is the virus. just to irk you.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem.
Bye now.
All right. Yeah, so sometimes I wonder, because obviously I've been doing the, not obviously, I will say that, been doing the show a little over a year now. I think it's a year and a month, maybe almost to the date. And I assume that I've gotten better at it. When I started, I was pretty nervous about doing stuff. I did a Captain Marvel show, for crying out loud. But I did have a friend. It was going to be a fun show, and that friend bailed on me literally 2 minutes before the show. So I was like, ah. And I didn't really have a backup plan, and I watched Captain Marvel. So I'm like, hey, this is kind of a big movie, and we're going to review it. But in the last year, I'm like, man, this whole pandemic's probably helped me out a little bit, because there's always something going on with the virus. We can always talk virus a little bit. Joe's calling in. Joe, real quick, I gotta get to Brad doing the news and then the angle.
I think it's too dangerous to go trick or treating. I think it's too dangerous to go to school. I think what we should do is just mail out ration books, and the government will get a hold of us on our government cell phones and let us know what day we can go meet and pick up our things we need for the month.
It'd be nice if the government.
That's where we're headed, right?
It would be nice if we all got cell phones, right? I mean, that should be a public service. Cell phones and internet should be a public service, like electricity and water.
If you don't get the vaccine, then you have to stay in your house and wait for the ration book. That's where we're headed, right?
Well, do you trust the vaccine at this point? When we're going to push the vaccine out as soon as humanly possible.
I mean, I've gotten flu vaccines here and there. I mean, kind of like herd immunity. So we're pretty much about there now.
You can't have herd immunity. We're about there now. 3 million, man. We're not even close.
We're about there now, so I don't see the need for the vaccine, though.
We only need 327 million more people to get the virus before we get herd immunity. All right. I got to get Engel on the phone. Brad's going to stall for me doing the news. We'll be back after this at Wisdom. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. Try to text me questions right now if you have anything for the La Crosse School Superintendent, Dr. Aaron Engel. How's it going, Engel?
Doing well, and yourself?
I am pretty good. It's so nice out that I don't want to be in here right now. So let's get this going real fast. Can we make time go faster? But it is getting dark sooner, and then I'm going to be really sad when the clock changes up in an hour and I can't even leave the office without it being dark out.
Absolutely.
All right. So first off, you started this job July 1st. You took over for Randy Nelson, right? Randy Nelson?
Yeah, Randy Nelson. Randy,
sure. I got a name right. You took over for Randy Nelson, longtime superintendent at La Crosse, and just longtime in teaching and in schools. But you know, you're closing in on 3 months, and you've been a superintendent, I think, 5 years in Galesville, right?
Yep, that's correct.
So you've been a superintendent before. How is this a little eerie as you know, school's going on, but you don't have students in school?
Yeah, I mean, we closed school back on March 18th, and it's been almost 6 months since, you know, we've heard the sounds of kids running through the halls or playing out in the playground. It's definitely far different than you would imagine. And, you know, where as a superintendent, you're used to working through the summer and not seeing students, but you are always like kind of marking time by when they come back. And so for that not to happen this year, definitely very, very different.
Is that like a put it on your calendar? This is when school, when the students come back and you're going to dread that day, or are you actually happy that day?
Oh, totally happy that day. That best day of school is the first day of school, and my second favorite day is when our seniors graduate. So to miss, you know, those two things this year has really been a loss.
For two reasons, I think the best day of school is that last day, because usually nobody does anything the last day of school. It's like a fun day, and you just do activities, and it has nothing to do with school at all. But and for obvious reasons, because then, you know, summer starts for students anyway. I bet a lot of teachers feel that way too.
I imagine.
So you haven't had students for 3 months, and the plan initially over the summer, you guys, you know, I would say it was a little bit of a bumpy road and how we get here. And we're still probably on that road. If it's not getting bumpier, you're jumping bridges now that are out. But the plan was to bring students back into school. Was it just literally October 1st or somewhere around October, right?
October 5th is the date that we had initially planned to return school students to school, assuming everything was going well in the county. And obviously, as we look at La Crosse County, it's had a rate of increase in cases that tops the nation in many metrics.
Yeah, so do you know definitively, like, October 5th is unrealistic? It seems to me, if I'm just guessing, I'm looking at cases that we're at 114 a day the last week, according to the County Health Department collaborative website. It seems to me if we're at 114 cases a day, like UWL's on lockdown for another week, we're probably not going to be in school. You know, students probably aren't going to be in school, but you tell me.
Yeah, we're probably not going to be in school. We have I have a meeting with the county collaborative tomorrow to go over the case rate and the other factors involved. And then after that meeting, I meet with our medical advisor from Gunderson to get his perspective and talk through kind of risk. And then I also meet with other county superintendents just to talk about our strategy as we move forward. And so right now, with the case rate it is and the positivity rate the way it is, there's really not a way we can reopen our schools safely or anticipate it being safely at this point. The model that we've been using is from the Harvard Global Health Institute, and to return to school safely for elementary students at a minimum, you know, it indicates 24 cases per day, and right now we're well over 100.
All right, so you know, how do you bring kids back into school then? Do you just look at the data and go, once we hit this mark, or do we have to hit this? We probably have to hit this a certain mark. What, 24? Be under that for a week or two, and can you anticipate when? I think you'd just be guessing. Like, wait, hey, Engel, when can we bring students back in school if it's not October 5th?
Yeah, I'm hopeful that, you know, we've locked down some things. I hope people are doing the right thing and taking, you know, this issue seriously. And you know, if we're doing the right things, you know, we saw on September 1st, you know, that, you know, cases were below that 24 mark. You know, it's possible for us to be there again. I think it's just a concerted community effort to get there. And you know, we'll look at the case rates, you know, 2 weeks in advance, and you know, if it's looks like it's trending downwards, we're getting good testing rates, you know, if all the signs indicate to yes, then we'll plan on opening again.
How do you handle parents who you know, probably want their kids in school if for nothing else to get them out of the house? What kind of feedback have you been getting, you know, with the anticipation that October 5th isn't going to happen?
You know, there's a lot of folks that have been kind of counting on, like, hey, if I can just get through this month, then if my kid can get back to school, I'll be able to make it. And so I think, you know, there's some parents out there that, you know, are not looking forward to, you know, to any negative news in that regard. And I am totally empathetic to those concerns. You know, at the same time, you know, we can't in good conscience bring kids and teachers back when the conditions indicate we're going to contribute to spread and endanger folks. So, you know, we're trying to put everything we can in place to support parents, you know, during this time. And, you know, if we can all pitch in and do the right thing, wear a mask and social distance and try not to go out unless it's necessary, I firmly believe the cases will come back down to a reasonable number and we'll be able to get right back to school.
I bring up parents too, and I was the forgotten person in this, and you talk about it, is teachers. Do you have like a big group meeting with a lot of teachers, or is there maybe just like a one teacher that kind of talks, you know, for certain groups? because I would imagine some teachers are like, yeah, I don't, I'm fine. Bring the students in. We'll wear masks. We'll be okay. I'm good to teach classes in person. And I imagine other teachers are like, eh, I'm not comfortable with that. I want to stay out of the school. So I don't know. Is there any wiggle room there where you could have some teachers in school and some teachers virtual and try to figure it out that way? Or would that just be too big of a cluster?
Yeah, there's a range of opinions, a range of concerns, a range of health issues. And, you know, our principals are keyed into our teachers and have, you know, regular meetings with folks, you know, so they're aware of the issues and those filter up. We also have, you know, district meetings with, you know, representation from our teachers on a broader scale. And we talk to those folks as well. And, you know, one of the reasons we offered the Cooley Region Virtual Academy was to help both students and teachers meet some of those concerns. So some of our teachers who had, you know, significant concerns about the school year were able to go fully online for this first semester and teach through the Cooley Region Virtual Academy. You know, that being said, you know, there are teachers that have concerns as we consider returning to school, you know, this semester at any point, and it's our job to put into place the safety protocols necessary to ensure we've created a safe environment, and then to really assess the risk in our community using our medical professionals we have access to through the Cooley Collaborative, through the Public Health Department, and our medical advisor.
We're speaking with La Crosse School Superintendent Dr. Aaron Engel here, just talking about trying to reopen schools. The last time you talked, about a month ago, I think we were in a transition phase where the county had taken down this COVID-19 compass that the schools were using. I think a lot of the communities were using to kind of gauge where virus activity was and what to do. And then they waited a couple of weeks before launching what they call their Cooley COVID-19 Collaborative website. And you expressed, you weren't very happy with the layoff there between one and the other. You guys were kind of depending on that. And did you guys kind of take this into your own hands, or have you used the collaborative website, or what have you done since then in the past month just to kind of to help your you know, gauge the virus?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think we would have all preferred some sort of continuity through that period of time. You know, that being said, you know, when we know more, we do more. You know, when we learn better, we do better. You know, so I think the health systems came in to help provide some expertise and to collaborate more closely with the county, and just kind of looked at reassessing risk in our community. And I think, you know, there are good models out of the Harvard Global Health Institute that the county latched onto. And so we were able to adopt that for our county as the basis for understanding risk. And fortunately, the Harvard Global Health Institute also has an associated model for schools and how we can assess risk in schools, and they provide recommendations as well. And so, you know, we were able to adopt those recommendations for schools as we think about reopening our schools. And so, you know, it worked out well ultimately in that the model that our county chose to use also had an associated one for schools.
All right. Yeah. And worked out well in the fact that you can use a model. And now if the model would help, you know, if people would, you know, not get the virus and not cause the spread, it would help even more. Coming up, we're going to go. We got a break here. Scott Shaw doing the news. Scott Shaw doing Scott Robert Shaw's comment, and Brad doing the news. A couple of things I want to bring up, though, after the break. School resource officers, that's one of the things that, you know, global pandemic's not enough to throw at the new school superintendent. We're going to talk about a 20-some-year-old relationship with La Crosse Police. And then the idea of virtual learning and how maybe that's better for some students versus others. We'll get to that after the break with school superintendent Dr. Aaron Engel. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. If you got questions for Dr. Aaron Engel, the La Crosse School Superintendent, shoot them to me. 608-785-7914. I got a couple of them already that we can get to in just a minute. One more thing about the virus, and I'm just going to get this out of the way. This is actually one of the texts I got, Engel, And the and then we'll try to move away from the virus a little bit. I'll try to do that. We had a caller earlier in the show say, hey, can we just not talk about the virus? And I'm like, yeah, that would be nice someday if we could just not talk about it. But global pandemic is kind of hard not to. And I guess virtual learning is kind of virus talking about the virus too, but I want to go at it from a different angle. But two things, and what's the protocol for if lacrosse schools goes back to student in-person classes or however you want to describe that? What's the protocol if one of the staff or maybe a teacher gets the virus?
Yeah, somebody tests positive for COVID. We look. According, to the public health department, we look at when their symptoms were onset, and we look 2 days prior to that and identify through contact tracing anyone who might have come in contact with that individual. And contact means within 6 feet for more than 15 minutes in a day. And, we've got seating charts. We've got pretty good logs of where folks are at. So, if a teacher, was in a classroom, we're doing our best to social distance. We always wear masks when we're going to come back, so maybe a handful of students might be affected and hopefully no staff members, so then anyone who met that criteria within 6 feet for more than 15 minutes in a day, they would have to quarantine as well. And the same would be essentially true for a student as well. And, our process when that happens, if we do have a positive case in our buildings, is to notify the parents, that have students in that building so they're aware. And then any student that would or staff member that would meet that contact tracing guidelines, they'd get more individual notification.
Am I going to have to buddy up with some lacrosse school's parents to get these emails then? as a media member that's going to want to know this info?
Yeah, it's not our intent to let everybody know, but the people that are affected, for the students or the staff member that may be out, we want to protect their health information as we're required to by law, and so on a weekly basis, we're going to put out an update that indicates how many positive cases and how many had to quarantine due to contact tracing.
When it comes to what the school is going to look like, will teachers be behind plexiglass? Will it be plexiglass maybe down the middle of the hallway? Anything like that? Will the school look vastly different in any regards?
Nothing quite that dramatic. We definitely have plexiglass, in our offices and high traffic areas. We have plexiglass dividers for some of our teachers that work very closely with students. But the big thing is the physical distancing. We've got, 6 feet between desks. We've cleared out a lot of rooms to create more space, trying to limit the items that kids would touch and use on a regular basis. And so it looks a little bit more like a classroom of 30 or 40 years ago, honestly, as opposed to one we might have today with shared tables and kids working in pods. It looks a little more regimented than it might have in the past.
Are you utilizing, say, the gymnasium for classes? Are you sectioning them off somehow or throwing desks in there to maximize social distancing?
I don't believe we've had to go to gymnasiums yet, but there are some classrooms that are a bit small. And so we've used LMC space, library space, other multi-purpose rooms, so we want to make sure that kids have the space necessary to return to school safely.
Are you going to push the naughty kids, push their desk right into the closet just to utilize all the space, when they're, you just throw it, because, we got to maximize the space. We'll put a desk in the closet as well.
Absolutely not. No, we want to make sure that every kid is engaged and is able to see and hear their teacher and has a positive relationship with their peers. I'm sure that's a thought people have had from time to time, but not a strategy we're using.
There was a story, Brad has a story on wisdomnews.com just about the lacrosse. I'm changing the subject now. The city arts board is talking about having an arts reserve. And it's just going to be a change jar on the top of the refrigerator that the arts board and can use to do art projects throughout the city. And it's just, I don't know who can contribute to it or if it would be taxpayer money or if anyone could contribute to it. And I just thought, hey, when I hear about teachers, they're always they got to buy their own materials a lot of the times. They're using their own money for different things. Does the La Crosse School District have some kind of like teacher kitty that where teachers, if they want to buy more pens or pencils or notebooks or something for their class or just maybe different projects, where they can go and reach into that jar and grab some money, or is that something that you guys could do?
So basic supplies are definitely the school district's responsibility, and you know, we make sure that we provide the basic necessities. But you know, there are times when a teacher has a really cool idea that kind of exceeds our budget for a year, and we're so thankful for the La Crosse Public Education Foundation. They fundraise all year, and they provide grants to teachers for neat ideas. And so we're lucky to have that change jar in our school district already. And, you know, for folks that want to help out teachers with the neat projects and different things, you know, they can always donate to the La Crosse Public Education Foundation or be a part of their fundraisers like the Bowtie Classic that happened over Labor Day.
Have you ever heard of and I know you just started there at La Crosse Schools, but maybe back in Galesville, just a teacher that's got an idea and then you're like, yeah, actually, that's a little too crazy. We're not going to do that.
There have been some things where I said you're going to have to maybe fundraise on your own for that one. At the same time, I've certainly endorsed some pretty wild ideas. We had a teacher in Galesville that wanted to build tiny houses, but it was difficult to do it in the winter. And so we ended up putting in a larger garage door in our shop so that they could fit in a 14-foot high trailer and house. And so I think if people have good ideas, I'm always willing to entertain, making those things happen however we can.
Did you get that tiny house to code and were able to sell it, or did somebody like throw it in the river at some point because nobody could possibly live in it?
Oh, no, it was fantastic. It was to code. We collaborated with a local design a studio, so to speak, with Central Builders, and worked with local electricians and plumbers to have everything certified. We worked with the Department of Transportation to ensure that it could move down the road and be sold. So it was fully certified top to bottom, and we sold it to a happy new owner of a tiny house who put it out on their property to use as a hunting cabin. So it was a great project and learned a lot and collaborated with dozens of businesses across their community.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. All right, another quick turn here. SROs, school resource officers, the La Crosse School District has had a long relationship with them in schools. Even if you just want to say the DARE officer, I think, is the longest, and then I think SROs eventually moved in. The school board brought this up a couple of months ago, just the idea of whether or not to renew the contract this coming June. And I can't remember, $170,000? Do you remember the price?
Yeah, $250,000.
$250,000, too. And is that per year, or is that like a five-year contract, do you know?
That's annually.
Okay, $250,000 a year. And that's for, I believe, five officers and a DARE officer, four officers and a DARE officer, the keep the kids off drug officer. Where are we with that and those talks and just the, and is there a timeline where we would make this decision besides, of course, June?
Yep. So the school board put together a charge that included a mandate to provide a recommendation by, I believe it's November 16th. I might have the date wrong, but middle of November, they want a report back that answers questions that they have and provides a recommendation. We just had an open forum for the public to be able to speak last week, Monday, with good attendance at that. And then we have another open forum for people that want to speak again or didn't get an opportunity this last week on October 12th at 6 p.m. And so folks that want to speak at our next open forum opportunity can call our district office to set that up.
Are you getting a good feel of where the teeter-totter is leaning here? And maybe I shouldn't. It's probably not really actually a teeter-totter because I think it's not like, it's not going to be a 50-50 vote. Whoever gets the majority, we're going to decide. But are you getting a good feel of where we're at with that and whether or not you would renew the contract?
Still a lot of work to do. The open forum provided almost a 50-50 split in terms of the viewpoints and really great perspectives that we heard from community members, from parents, from students. You know, so I think we're getting a better sense as we move forward. We've still got some, you know, research to do on local data and trying to make that available to folks. So there's, you know, still working through the process and still getting a good idea for where we think we can go.
You know, these open forums, I think maybe, have you heard anything surprising? Maybe a student has come forward, and maybe this would come in not an open forum, but maybe privately. But anything that surprised you, a perspective from a student or a parent in terms of where we're at with school resource officers or maybe their history there?
I mean, I'm always, I guess, disturbed when I hear about, like, really negative interactions that students have had with adults in our school system. And we've heard a few of those. And, you know, we want every student to feel like they belong and to feel safe. And we don't want any adult in our buildings, SRO or otherwise, to be a reason a student doesn't feel like they belong or doesn't feel safe. And so we've heard some of those stories, and those are always, you know, disappointing. But, you know, at the same time, you know, been in education long enough to have heard a lot of different perspectives, and I guess nothing's, you know, overly shocking at this point.
Okay. And then kind of getting, changing the subject again, I'm doing smooth transitions today. I'm just saying them. the idea of, obviously, we're not in-person classes, we're virtual learning. How is that going just in general? What are you hearing from the first month or almost a month now of virtual learning?
I've heard generally positive things. I think we put into place a number of changes from last spring to this fall, and I think, you know, generally speaking, parents are appreciative of those changes. You know, there's also, you know, some concerns about online learning and how that works, especially for our youngest children. You know, but there's a little more routine, a little more structure, far more face-to-face on Zoom. And so we've been able to create a much better environment where students are getting, you know, quality direct instruction, not just homework.
I get a text here that Steve asks, who can he contact regarding the kids' school curriculum?
I would call the district office at the school district of La Crosse, and we could put him in touch with somebody that could talk through whatever concerns he has.
The idea of virtual learning, so I bring this up because last Friday, Dr. Anthony Chergosky, he's the UW-La Crosse political science professor, kind of got thrown into virtual learning last minute, and I don't know if he was or wasn't prepared for it. He probably could have expected that this might happen. And he said either last Thursday's or that Friday's class, he said every student participated. Now, I don't know if he's that great of a professor. He's pretty good on the radio. I don't know if he's that great of a professor or if it's the virtual learning aspect of this. I would say that if I had to do this show live in front of 100 people or hundreds of people, I would probably be pretty nervous looking at the crowd and feeling all the eyes on me. And going back to college and just thinking about, you know, some of those classes I had a lot of people in college at the same time, and even high school. I didn't exactly love the idea of, like, asking a question and being pointed out as, you know, that's a stupid question. Why would you ask that? Or just being signaled out or just having eyes on you. Have you thought about that at all? Have teachers talked about, you know, the aspect of virtual learning and maybe some of the, even I would guess maybe older kids are doing better with that because they don't get signaled out so they can actually participate without having quote unquote eyes on them.
Yeah, we've definitely seen some students who prefer virtual learning who, you know, might have anxiety about coming to school or, you know, have negative interactions with other students or, you know, don't like that pressure of being in a classroom. And so there's certainly any number of students that have enjoyed virtual learning and ability to participate that way. And I would imagine, you know, we've already offered a virtual option to our La Crosse Polytechnic School, but I suspect, you know, for students for whom, you know, this really worked this year, we could see an increase in enrollment through our virtual charter option.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. I guess if parents, you know, my kids struggled through sophomore year and now the first month of junior year, he's doing awesome and all we're doing is virtual learning, and, you know, maybe they see that as an aspect that they can actually, there's an avenue for them, right? They can just go full-time virtual and they wouldn't have to have their kid literally in school, right?
By and large, yeah, we've got a virtual option, and we're likely to expand that for next year for those parents that this works. You know, there are other virtual options around the state that people have tried from time to time. What I really like about the option that we provide within our own school district is students still have access to teachers in person. They can still come on site and get that checkup. You know, they've got a physical resource anytime they want, and they can transfer, you know, back to coming into the physical building more frequently if that's what works for them. So, you know, using the resources we have in La Crosse, you know, we provide a lot of choice for parents and how they want their child educated. And so, you know, the virtual option we provide will be there next year for those that it worked for really well this year.
Okay. Is that something that you came up with, or is that something that's existed for a couple of years?
It's been in the works, but it was around last year. There was a virtual option to a certain extent. You know, it's developed and it's growing, but our La Crosse Polytechnic, which was, and I'm new to the school district, so I can't offhand remember the names that we used, Seven Rivers High School. You know, there were some virtual options there, I believe. You know, so okay. We've always tried to accommodate the various ways that students learn, but we're making them more robust as we move forward.
Yeah, because I know out by me, it's called the Houston Virtual Academy. I know it's existed. I think somebody told me it's existed for maybe a decade or more. So, all right. Dr. Aaron Engel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
All right. See ya.
All right. Bye.
We're going to take one more break. Thanks a lot to you, La Crosse School Superintendent Aaron Engel there. We'll be back after this on Wisdom. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. Just a couple minutes left. I want to remind everybody to come back in an hour. Go get something to eat, get some popcorn, and come back to Wisdom News, wisdomnews.com, or if you're listening on the radio, right here at 7 p.m. for the Vote Safe Project. It's going to be a four-part segment, four segments. The last one's going to be a Q&A. Scott Robert Shaw is going to host that one. You can text or email your questions. Go to wisdomnews.com and just look for the big blue Wisconsin with a red check mark on it. It's actually a V for vote. I think it'll be pretty interesting. A couple of attorneys generals on there, Jenny Dinkmeyer, La Crosse County Clerk, and Reed Magny from the Wisconsin Elections Commission are among those that are going to speak. I did get a couple of texts that I didn't get to with Engel because if you notice, I had to talk really fast with him just because I wanted to get everything covered in that short time that we have. I think Steve answered that one. Rugg said he's missed in Gail Ector-Tremolo, Aaron Engel. He's a former school superintendent there. Josh texted in, online learning is garbage and kids need in-person learning. I would say probably at the younger age, yeah, kids need to interact, right? They, I don't know, as you get older, maybe not. At that point, I feel like, you know, middle school, maybe pushing it, and then high school. I don't know. I don't think it can help, but I would say in terms of learning, you could learn on your own and then do activities with other kids in other respects. It's not like you're in school and, you know, interacting all the time. A lot of times you're, you know, doing schoolwork. Just the hallway. It's the hallways, right? And recess. In recess, you don't really have recess in school. And nobody did anything in Phi Ed. That was just a get out of here. All right, that's all the time I got. We'll do it again tomorrow.